Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
13% of people say that they put their peanut butter in the fridge. That's where they store it. Who are these people?
Strange, strange individuals. I love peanut butter, creamy and crunchy. I'm very specific about both. I would never put either of them in the refrigerator.
I've never even heard of such a thing. But then I was thinking about it. And almond butter, like when I used to have almond butter in my house.
Okay.
I used to keep that in the refrigerator. Mm. And I don't know why. Huh?
Did you prefer it cold or cool?
I thought it wouldn't go bad because it's got that oily thing. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you're not using it as much as regular peanut butter, I'm guessing, too. Right. So, yeah, that is weird. I don't know. Never really thought about that. I don't enjoy a lot of almond butter in my life, unfortunately.
I was looking over at this list of like what you keep in the pantry versus what you keep in the fridge.
Yeah.
It's amazing how divided people are on certain things.
Okay.
Like one of my favorite things, chocolate. Where do you keep your chocolate?
Well, it depends on the type of chocolate and it depends on the time of year. So my pantry can get a little bit warm. So I won't keep like a soft chocolate or something like that in the pantry. I would keep that in the fridge when I can. But I have another cabinet that's in a cooler spot. So right now, suffice to say, we've still got some early Easter candy hanging around that we told ourselves we weren't going to open. But of course, we're halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a whole thing of Reese's Easter eggs in the bottom cabinet right now.
I mean,
I've got a third of a bag left
of
a massive Costco bag.
It's funny. They say 24% of people keep their chocolate in the fridge. 76% say the pantry. The cheap chocolate, the Kit Kats and the Twix, those Hershey Kisses.
Little candy bars.
Those stay in the pantry. But the good chocolate, like the Godiva, the chocolate that I call, which just sounds awful, my chocolate.
Yes.
I keep that hidden. Way in the fridge, on the top, in the back, where my children don't know it exists and the little one can't reach.
Right. And your husband would never go look.
He has no idea it's even there. That's what I like about it. Where do you keep your apples?
Apples I keep in the fridge.
Me too. But do you know we're in the minority? 56% of people say they stay in the pantry. 44% say the fridge. When you put them in the fridge, they last forever, like 100 years, I think.
I like a cool, crisp apple.
Maple syrup.
I always keep that in the fridge.
That's another one where people are divided. You're in the minority. 41% say the fridge, 59% say the pantry. I also keep it in the fridge.
You know, I don't have it on hand all that often, so I don't feel that terrible about that.
Oh, I always have it. I think because I have kids, though, and we have pancakes every weekend, so it's just kind of par for the course. This is one that I thought was really interesting. Avocados. Where do you keep your avocados?
Avocados are supposed to be out, I think.
So how it works, and this is good to know, 41% say belong in the fridge, 59% say the pantry is fine. But when they're ripe, you're supposed to put them in the fridge to slow them down so they don't turn all brown. So you leave them on until they're the right softness when you push it and it's soft. And then right when it reaches that point, you put them in the fridge so you can keep them longer. That's a good tip to know.
I mean, it's all a guessing game. I just wish it had a window.
You want the avocado to have a window?
Right. Let me see it. Then I'll know what I'm dealing with here.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories, but you only hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. Ready?
What do you got?
Number one, beachgoers report unexpected encounters with nudists.
Well, I mean, who hasn't been there before?
Number two, woman charged after keeping money raised for cancer patients after fundraiser blames the cost of coleslaw.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Number three, inmates captured after escaping with toothbrush.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go with inmates captured. I love the Count of Monte Crisco. Let's do this.
All right. So two Virginia inmates escaped from jail like they were in a straight out of a movie. It's crazy. They escaped through a hole. Now, how do they do it?
The sheriff's offices, Arlie Nemo and John Garza were able to exploit a construction design weakness in the building and used a toothbrush and metal object to make the hole.
I mean, how is that possible?
Two things here. Arlie Nemo, you definitely knew he was going to be a supervillain. All right. Yeah, I mean, not a supervillain, but a criminal in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Number two, very innovative.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to say, very innovative. Maybe should have been an engineer.
Police were obviously going to all lengths to try to locate the inmates.
Just working with the sheriff's department, collaborating together, checking locations, possibilities, backtracking, talking to individuals. And then they were located early this morning.
So we started
at Colgate.
Yeah.
And we found out how they make the toothbrushes. Mm-hmm. And then we went from there. We went and we looked. We spread out.
So where did they find the inmates?
But it was a tip from the public that led police to the IHOP on Mercury Boulevard in Hampton, where the two were apparently eating at about 3 a.m. this morning.
They escaped and they went to IHOP.
Rudy Tooty, fresh and fruity, man. I don't care what you say. It's still the best.
All right. Two important questions that come out of this.
Yeah.
Number one, what tool do you have in your bathroom right now that you would use to escape jail? It has to be something in your bathroom at this given time.
How about a nail clipper? Or I have one of those things that you use for, like, the debris around your toenails. Both of those. It's got, like, a scoop on it. The nail clipper, obviously, if you've got the big one and it's got the piece that folds out,
That's
kind of like a knife already.
It really kind of is.
All right? You know,
yeah.
You can dig with that thing. You can get in stuff. And then, you know, if you've got something under your nails, you can use that, too.
I like that you called it. Would you call it toenail debris?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
If you have toe debris, right? You know, you get that little sock debris in there.
I would use a curling iron. It's like a sword with heat.
Yeah.
You know?
Curling iron is just dangerous in general. I just stay away from them.
Do you know how many burn marks I have in my head and my face from them?
Every time I see them on the counter, I'm just like, what's happening with this thing?
Yeah, but if you never want to touch it either.
I'm high alert.
All right. But okay, now you've escaped. You used the curling iron. You got rid of the toe debris. You've managed to escape.
Right.
Now, what's the first place you're going to eat? Is it IHOP?
Well, listen, I'd love for it to be IHOP, but you got to, you know, use your brain on this. You can't do it just based on your stomach here. So you got to go somewhere where people are not going to see you. 3 a.m. IHOP, true. It's full of a lot of weird characters at that time of day.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's not a million of them. So if you're the guy that's in an orange suit, they're probably going to see you right away.
Correct.
Right? I'm thinking Taco Bell. Taco Bell is the home of drunk stopovers on the way home.
Yeah.
Your designated driver knows that they always have to stop there. Everybody's got some ridiculous order, and nobody's paying attention to anybody. The people that work there hate you. You just want your burritos. Nobody's looking at anybody. You're looking at that and wondering whether or not they're going to give you enough hot sauce.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I want to go for, like, a delicious steak dinner, but you're right. I'm wearing an orange jumpsuit. How am I going to fit in?
Yeah. How are you going to pay, too? Eyes on you as soon as you do that, man.
How are they going to pay at IHOP? I'm going to guess if they escaped jail with a toothbrush, they weren't going to pay. Yeah.
You might be right.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Group therapy time. What's driving you nuts? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Jackie.
If you put your gum on your plate, then eat your food and put the gum back in your mouth when you're done.
Ew.
That is all I need to know about you.
Ew.
I've seen this.
I mean, doesn't it lose all the flavor anyway once it hits the air, it oxidizes or something like that? Or did I make that up?
I mean, seriously, in like 15 minutes, all gum loses its flavor.
Yes.
What are you doing? Are we saving gum here? What are we doing here? What kind of budget are we working on for a gum budget?
How can you enjoy the meal on your plate knowing that there is a little thing of gum in a ball right next to it that you're going to put back in your mouth?
And then after, there's going to be a little bit of your lunch in that gum.
It's disgusting.
Like, it's going to be in there.
Ew.
That's gross.
Yeah. Patrick. That's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you're picking your scabs in public in front of people, that's all I need to know. Ugh.
That's pretty gross.
It is nasty.
I mean, what are you doing with scabs anyways? Like, how many scabs does a normal person have, and how often do they have them?
It depends on how old you are and whether or not you have eczema.
Well, right. I mean, if you have a skin condition, that's different. Right. And you know what? I've been guilty of that from time to time.
Mm.
Picking on my skin, yeah. But if you have like an actual scab that you fell down and you have like a scrape or something like that, and there's a possibility that when you pick the scab, it's either going to be pink underneath or you could draw blood again.
Yep.
How often is that happening?
my toddler, she's just that kid that's constantly falling down.
Well, she's a toddler.
Right. She picks her scabs and it makes me crazy. Like her knees are going to be permanently damaged with scars for the rest of her life.
But if you see an adult, like
it's
a regular
different.
Age person, and they've got scrapes all the time, you're like, what are you doing?
Let's say over the age of 7, you are no longer allowed to pick your scabs.
Right? Yeah. Like, or have them with regularity. What's happening here?
Charlie, that's all I need to know about you.
If you have to smell test your clothes before you put them on every morning, that's all I need to know about you.
That is nasty.
Who's doing that?
Oh, my roommate. He's a psycho. Every morning, this guy's like, oh, tell me what you think about this. And I'm like, get out of here.
I mean, how about just wash them, right? I mean, if it's that close to the margins, how about wash them? I smell them when I take them off.
That's how you decide?
That's how I decide, you know, with a pair of jeans or something like that, you know, and I take them off and I give them a sniff, and if they're all right, okay, they hang back on the rack.
I think I do, too. I think you're right.
See?
I'm trying to think, when do I... No, I think, yeah. I think when I take them off, I'm like, all right, this is good for two more white wears.
In the morning, I don't have the brain power. I don't have the presence of mind to be making sure that something is good. I've got to protect myself by sniffing it in the evening.
Well, the gross part, Charlie, is that he asks you. That's all I need to know about
right,
you.
Right. If you can't tell yourself, right. Then there's a big problem here.
It's always tough when you're a parent and you get that phone call home or the email home that your kid did something wrong, right?
Mm, yeah. She's not biting anybody anymore, right?
No, no, we're past the biting phase.
That's good.
Knock on wood. But there's this woman that went viral. She's a teacher, and she was saying how teachers use code words that really mean other things,
yeah.
Which got me like going back into my emails and rereading old emails that I got about my youngest daughter, Dakota. She's 4.
Well, I mean, it seems appropriate. Nobody can, you know, send you an email and say your child is a demon.
Right.
Right. Or you're doing a terrible job at home. They have to use these code words.
Yeah. Here's what she says in the TikToks.
We have a code when we email parents. When we use phrases like, your child is very social, that means they won't stop talking.
Very social means they won't stop talking. I remember when I was a kid, that was always on my report card. Mm-hmm. Too talkative in class.
Yeah, mine too. I feel like they, you know, say that for all sorts of kids. I mean, you're a kid, mm-hmm. right? You're having fun. You're talking. Is that really a bad thing anymore? I don't really know.
Or their excitement in the classroom is contagious. It means they will not calm down.
That might be a Dakota.
They pump people up. I'm pumping you up.
Or if they're a natural born leader, your child is super bossy.
Aww.
Well,
is there something wrong with being bossy? I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, all these things that they want you to stop doing when you're in grade school or whatever is the things that they're hiring you for.
It's true.
Later on.
So I was thinking
seems
about
strange.
The words that my pediatrician uses to describe my little one. Now, my older one is a whole different story. I've never gotten a phone call, an email home for her in my entire life. Dakota is basically just her goal in life is, I think, to kill me. So strong-willed. Natural born leader, mm-hmm. spirited. Those are what the pediatrician call her.
Yeah.
And I think that those all mean
that's a doctor.
Difficult. I think that's what that it translates to.
Sure.
But I pulled up 3 old emails over the course of the last 2 years that I've received about Dakota, things that she's done in the class. Let's decipher what these words really mean, okay?
I love it.
Number one, Dakota and her friend on the playground were a bit rowdy today. They were playing dinosaurs. Dakota bit the other child. What do you think the word rowdy means? Because I think...
I'm going to put it through the translator. Hold on. Let me put it through the...
Rowdy. Teacher says rowdy.
It means that she's throwing elbows. It's like a 1970s NBA playoff game. All right? There's going to be a lot of butt bumping, stuff like that. I mean, don't try and get on the slide when I'm on the slide.
I see her coming straight at this poor child with her hands like claws out there, right? All right. Next email. Dakota was upset today because she was asked to hold the teacher's hand after she kept getting out of line to hide in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they mean by upset?
Oh. She went crazy and threatened the teacher's life.
No, I don't think she would do that, but I think she went crazy. And I would imagine when they say upset, she threw herself on the floor. Mm-hmm. That seems like, in my mind, would probably happen.
Right, right.
Here's the third one. Today was a tough day for Dakota. She was disappointed when it wasn't her turn to be line leader, so she scratched the classmate's neck.
Oh.
All right. Disappointed. Mm-hmm. What do you think they mean, disappointed?
I'm going to be the line leader! I'm the line leader! You're going to
be okay, I just want you to know, too, that when she scratched that poor child's neck, and they don't tell you who the other kid is, because I immediately want to call the parent and apologize and be like, right. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I'm doing my best with her. They don't tell you. But they also, to teach her compassion, made her hold an ice pack on it after she did it.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking is this poor kid
right.
just had my daughter go at them with her nails, and now she's got to hold an ice pack and say, I'm sorry. Like, get her off of me. Right.
Get her away from me. I don't want her in my vicinity for the next couple hours.
Teachers, just tell it how it is. Just tell me what I'm dealing with here. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Reggie Jackson is trending. He has a documentary coming out on Friday on Amazon Prime. And to promote it, Raven, he had an interview with Howard Stern. He was asked if it was hard for him to commit to someone and be in a relationship.
It wasn't hard for me to open my heart, but it was hard for me to be loyal. as a man. I cheated a lot. I won't blame it on any excuse. I just cheated.
I mean, calling it like it is, right?
I mean, Reggie Jackson was not a super great person, but he was a great baseball player. No question about it.
You know, but he goes on and he says this,
Mr. October.
Yep.
I missed a couple of wonderful ladies in my life, and it was my fault.
All right, so he takes responsibility, right?
He's super old now. Great for you to step up now, Reggie Jackson, and say that, you know, it was your fault, but could have done it then.
Do you believe once a cheater, always a cheater? Do you believe that?
I don't believe that. You know, cheating is really a thing about immaturity, right? So it's, you know, you're searching for something and you're not respecting somebody else, right? I mean, I've had relationships where people cheated on me and I cheated on them. That happened, you know, and maybe it wasn't always the same relationship, but it happens. But, you know, sooner or later you make a decision that you're not going to live your life that way, right? So I don't think that it's true.
Okay.
Reggie Jackson could have stopped. He was on top of the world as an athlete, and he took full advantage. It's okay for him to say that that's what happened. It's not necessarily big of him to say that at this point. It's pretty obvious.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe the once a cheater, always a cheater either. I think it depends on where you are in your life. I think you're really right with that. But I will tell you this. I always think that I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I think that guilt would kill you eventually.
I mean, the other thing is, too, is there's all sorts of different circumstances, right? And nothing is straightforward and easy. So, you know, you've got long distance situations. You've got high tension situations. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why people cheat. There's emotional cheating. There's all those things, right?
Also trending, which is a 100% 180, seaweed. Why is seaweed trending? If you're planning a trip to the Caribbean or to the Gulf of Mexico, beware that this is happening.
An enormous, massive seaweed has grown to a staggering size in the Atlantic Ocean, raising concerns from scientists.
Yeah, it's a giant blob of seaweed. And this lady goes on and she says this.
Researchers say this year's bloom of sargassum seaweed is much larger than previous seasons, and it's roughly twice the width of the continental U.S.
Oh, my gosh. So if you've ever gone on vacation and you see all that seaweed, you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Think about it. It's the size of the United States of America just coming at the Caribbean.
I saw a stat yesterday that said that it's 0.1% of the world's entire ocean, which doesn't sound like much.
No.
But when you think about the fact that 70% of the planet is, you know, basically covered in ocean, it's a whole lot. And it's not just going to happen in the Caribbean. It's going to be washing up in Florida, I guess, starting like this week. They're saying it's already arriving in the Keys and whatnot. So.
What's it called?
Sargassum seaweed.
Sargassum seaweed.
Yeah, it stinks and it's stingy. And if you touch it, there's stuff living in it. It's not fun.
Sargassum seaweed.
Yeah, we definitely don't want that. That stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're a kid or an adult. One of the most annoying pains in the whole world is ripping off a Band-Aid.
I just got a blood test the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm a relatively hairy guy. I mean, let's face it. I'm hairy. Okay. But, you know, I typically keep it, you know, relatively trimmed or whatever. Man, I didn't clean up the arms before I went and I got this blood test. They put that tape right on there.
Yeah.
And it hurt bad this time when I ripped it off.
Yeah.
I got a bruise and everything. It's nasty.
There's this hack that's trending right now on how to take off Band-Aids, which as a parent, I just wait until it falls off my daughter. Sometimes it's like a week later. I'm like, it's still holding on.
Right. Get in the shower.
This Peppa Pig Band-Aid is here for the long run.
It's disgusting, yeah. But it's real.
All right. So this is the hack that they've been saying really works.
So this hack totally works. Any of you can use any kind of oil, olive oil, baby oil, body oil, whatever it is. You just put it on that sticky part, rub it in until it's saturated, and it just peels off super easily. It works.
So just taking any kind of oil and putting the oil over the Band-Aid and then ripping it off is supposed to make it come off without hurting at all.
I would not recommend motor oil, given the fact that the Band-Aid is there to make sure that you don't get some sort of infection and you stop bleeding.
All right. Producer Sean has volunteered his legs. They are very hairy.
Yeah.
All right. First, we're going to do a regular Band-Aid. Let me open this Band-Aid.
Sean, do you ever trim those legs up?
No.
No, huh?
Why would he trim his leg hair?
I mean, I don't know. He was a runner.
What does that
have
to do?
He shaves his armpits. It's a well-known thing here on the show. I mean, if you're doing that for aerodynamics.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So I'm going to put this Band-Aid right on Sean.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to let it seep in for a second.
Seep in.
Yeah. Then we're going to take a second Band-Aid, and we'll also apply it. This one is much bigger. This one is for big wounds.
Okay. Why would you do that to me?
What? This is the one with the oil.
Oh, thank God.
Oh.
Thankfully. Okay.
That's nice. So you put the oil on after, obviously, because putting it on at first, you know, wouldn't make any sense, right?
So what we're going to do now is I'm going to rip off the one that does not have any oil.
Okay.
You ready, Sean?
I hope so.
Go!
Oh, God.
Go!
Ow!
Oh, my God. It ripped out so much of your hair.
Yeah.
Oh, how did that feel?
Well, I'm glad you did it fast.
I mean, did you go halfway the first time? You said go twice. Yeah, it's like halfway the first time because that happened to me the other day, too. You grab it. You think you've got it. You go to pull on the tape, and then you only get halfway there, and then you really are sad.
Sean.
I get to this spot where I'm missing the hair now.
Nice.
You have tears in your eyes.
I hurt.
All right, next. It said to use any oil. Uh-huh. So the only oil we had was salad dressing oil.
What?
We have Newman's own white balsamic vinaigrette.
Oh, don't waste that, man. That's quality dressing right there.
It's somebody in the office. Right. We just took it.
Somebody's going to be so mad.
All right. So now we're going to take this. Sean, do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
I mean, it should work.
I trust you.
It should work.
We're just going to put this oil dressing.
You got to saturate it, it's
said. Yeah, it's totally saturated.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That's a lot of dressing.
You are going to smell like a salad all day. All day.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Man.
No. Okay. It's a smell that doesn't go away.
Are you ready?
I'm very ready.
Okay, here we go. Let's see how this works.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, yeah, it was nice. All right.
It looks like it did come off easier.
Did it come off easier?
It did. It, a teeny bit of pain, but not as bad as the first at all.
I bet, if I let it sit for a second or two more, it would have been less pain. It came right off.
Yeah, how slimy is your leg, though?
Very.
Yeah, we're very slimy.
Okay.
But you know what? It works.
Mm.
What's too old to drive anymore? I feel like that question comes up every once in a while when you hear stories like this trending. This has been all over the news this week.
Hollywood icon Dick Van Dyke crashes his Lexus early this morning while driving in Malibu.
You know, TMZ is reporting the 97-year-old told police his car slid into a gate after losing control on a rain-covered road.
The actor was treated at the scene and refused a trip to the hospital. Sources also tell TMZ that drugs and alcohol were not involved.
Of course not. He's 97. That's the problem.
Well, Dick Van Dyke likes to party. I mean, if you've seen any of his videos dancing around with his younger wife, Dick Van Dyke, I wouldn't rule it out. But you know what? When I first hear this, my first thought is, why a Lexus? Why not like a 1979 Continental or a Cadillac or something like that? Something big that's made of old American steel that can drive right through a wall, you know? Why not that? But
Dick Van Dyke driving a Hummer crashed right into a Malibu gated community.
But I lived in both, you know, California and Nevada at different times. And let me tell you, it's like out there where it's hot, people can't drive in the rain.
Well,
they cannot drive. And this is anybody.
You're talking about driving in the rain. The guy is 97.
I'm just saying is that nobody there, doesn't matter if they're 37, can drive in the rain. 97, probably a factor, because it's been raining like the last month out there. But I'm just saying, in overall, in general, they cannot drive in the rain.
So we started talking because this always comes up. Like, what's too old to be driving? Like, what age should you be retested to be allowed to drive? And producer John went around the office asking that.
I do feel like in your 20s, because you're starting to drink and, you know, life is changing. So, yeah, I kind of think every 10 years would be safe.
10 years is better, but like in your...
Every
10 years. But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. In your 20s, you start drinking. You're not going to show up to the test drinking. I would hope not. You'd be smarter than do that, right?
Let me tell you something, all right? You would never get an appointment at the DMV. Every 10 years, we're going to retest everybody. Come on. Sounds like somebody's got teenagers that are about to be 20.
I'd say 70. I think 70 is a good age. I feel like most people can drive then, but there's just enough to wear. You should start testing people.
Just enough what?
Enough people that are bad at driving. It's just as dangerous to drive slow as it is to drive fast.
I mean, it is kind of.
It is. Yeah. It's so true.
70, 75 doesn't sound bad. You know, my grandmother, Martha, she always was for retesting, except she drove till she was like 90. And she had a blue car, and both sides of her car were all white because they were streaked from when she would hit the garage. But she loved to take tests.
Yeah.
So she just wanted to retest. I mean, she would have been pissed if she failed, but she loved tests.
Age, nothing. Every 5 years, easily. But once you hit 60, if we're going to talk in age, 60, every 3 years.
because you're old. You're old and you don't know what you're declining. It's a bell curve.
Okay. Wow. I mean, 60 is not old.
It's our office crazy? Curmudgeon right there.
Right?
Yeah.
What are you, crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just, if you knew him, you would know that he is that angry every day.
Yes. I don't know. What do you think about this? You can call 1-800-330-9999. But also, if you were given a driver's test right now, not the actual driving part, like the written part where you have to know all the random things, like how many seconds behind a tractor trailer you got to be, would you be able to answer that?
Mm.
Ah, we're going to give Raven that test. It's coming up next.
Oh, boy.
At what age should you get retested to keep your driver's license? Dick Van Dyke crashed into a gate this week. He's 97 years old. We asked around the office what would be the right age to start retesting, and this is what everyone said.
The way people drive these days, I think it should be every age, every year. So starting at 16, people drive like maniacs.
It's like keeping your CPR license every year.
You sound 1,000.
I mean, that's crazy every year.
You sound
year.
1,000 years old when you say that.
Well, how about this?
Let's say 70 to 75, because some old people are surprising. Some of them just take off like a bat out of hell and surprise you. But others sit there at a green light with their heads barely visible above the steering wheel.
That is a terrible stereotype. Yeah, it really is.
But I've seen it.
Me too.
I mean, everybody has seen it.
It's really strange right. When you see it, too. You're like, how is this poor woman driving? It's a real thing.
Oh, well, you said woman.
Mm. Well, I'm thinking about the lady I saw last week.
Okay.
I think once they drive through a storefront, like my grandfather who drove through the storefront of a seafood restaurant.
Oh, my gosh.
So whatever age, they drive through a storefront.
Agreed.
I mean, they should just pull it at that point. If you have a situation where you either A, fall asleep, B, have a heart attack behind the wheel or whatever. I mean, these are terrible circumstances, but pull the license at that point, right? I mean, there's no guarantee it ain't going to happen again.
There should be a stipulation on the back of our licenses. Like, you know, like when you read the disclaimers at the bottom, and it should say, if you drive through a storefront of a seafood restaurant.
This is revoked.
You don't get this anymore.
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
You'll be Ubering after that.
But the question is, if you were given the written portion of a test right now, not the driving portion, the written portion, would you actually be able to pass? Good news. I have some questions from a sample DMV test.
Yeah. I love to bet on myself and I do like to gamble, but I'm about 50-50 on this. 60-40 maybe. Okay.
Hydroplaning occurs when tires ride on a thin film of water instead of the surface of the road.
Mm-hmm.
To prevent hydroplaning in rainy weather, you should A, put your car in cruise control to maintain a constant speed. B, decrease your speed. Or C, move to the shoulder when it starts to rain.
I'm going to say decrease my speed.
You would be correct.
Wow.
That didn't
seem so hard.
Terrible news, Raven.
Okay.
You have a sudden tire blowout.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you A, use the brakes lightly? B, pump the brakes? Or C, apply the brakes firmly?
I'm going to go with use the brakes lightly.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Look at me.
Look at you go.
I'm crushing here so far, man.
The first thing that alcohol affects is A, vision.
Okay.
B, judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, balance.
I'm going to go with judgment.
Judgment is correct, Raven.
I'm crushing.
Look at you.
I should be a bus driver.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if you should drive a bus. Okay.
Yeah.
Collisions are more likely to happen when all vehicles are traveling at the same speed.
Uh-huh.
B, one lane of traffic is traveling faster than the other lanes.
Okay.
Or C, one vehicle is traveling faster or slower than the flow of traffic.
I'm going to go with C.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Look at me go.
Okay. One more right. And you can keep your license for another year.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I didn't know it was actually on the line today, but all right.
You may not park within how many feet of a stop sign? A, 30 feet. B, 25 feet. Or C, 15 feet. Don't screw this up, Raven.
Oh, gosh.
The world is counting on you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think.
How are you going to get home today?
Would you slow down? I'm trying to think here.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Was it 30, 25, and 15?
Yes.
Of a stop sign.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to.
The driveway is 15. I'm gonna go 25 feet.
You get to keep your license.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
Yes. Had to be one of the strangest arguments I ever got in with somebody. It wasn't even an argument. It was almost like a confrontation of who was gonna back down first. I was at a restaurant and I had ordered a burger with fries. And I took every ounce of me not to eat every one of the fries. I'm trying to be healthier and not eat all the fries. So he comes to box up the food And he's like, do you want to take the fries home? The busboy. Yeah. And I say, no, thank you. And he looks at me. He goes, what do you mean? I go, no, thank you. I don't want to take the fries home. And he goes, why? Did you not enjoy them? I go, no, they're delicious. I go, but I'm trying not to eat them. And I'm like, and you know, they're never really good when you reheat them. He's like, what do you mean? You just take them home and reheat them. They're fine. And I was like, I don't know what you want me to do, buddy. Do you want me to take home the fries?
This is too far for the busboy to have gone, I would say, already. The busboy needs to dial it back a little bit, huh?
Yes. Now, besides just trying to be healthy, reheating fries is terrible.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, producer John, producer Sean, Raven and I. You know, some foods, when you bring them home, they're never going to taste the same way again, right?
I think as soon as you put French fries in a styrofoam container,
yep,
that moisture builds up in there and it's changed the taste of the fries. Doesn't even matter, you know, what you're doing reheating wise. It's just, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be delicious. They come good out of the fryer.
Like, what are the worst foods to heat up at your house? Mm. You know, like when you bring them home, the leftovers.
Sometimes when we get Chinese, I'm so excited when the Chinese gets there. I've got my C5, okay, which is boneless spare rib with the house rice, and it comes with an egg roll. But sometimes I'm so excited, if the rice looks really good and the spare ribs smell really good, I don't even get to the egg roll before I just dive in.
Yeah.
And now I'm full, and now I've got the egg roll sitting there, and it's the saddest thing when I discover that I have forgotten the egg roll, because I know when I go to reheat it, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Egg roll's reheated, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
John, worst thing to reheat.
I still haven't figured out how to make great pizza at home. I'm not talking about fresh. Like, reheating pizza, you can only get one side. You can make the top crispy and warm again, and then it's awesome, but it's floppy on the bottom. Or you can make the bottom super, like, firm and crispy again, but then the top is, like, I don't know, it's wet and it's weird and it's damp, but it's not good. There's no way to make both sides awesome again.
When you're a single guy, you got to live on the pizza that you bought for like 3 days. So I can see that being an issue.
A week, baby, a week.
Not even guys. I live on pizza. I order a large pizza wherever I go and always take home the leftovers because I'll eat it cold. I don't care. I'll, you know, no matter what it tastes like.
Sure.
Sean, how about you? What do you think is the worst food to reheat?
You know, it's funny that John had mentioned pizza, because for me, it's like a calzone or stuffed bread. It's like no matter when you heat it up, the bread becomes very, like, gross. It's chewy. And then the cheese in the inside becomes rubbery. So instead of, you know, biting into it and the cheese, like, being oozy and, like, just falling, it's like it snaps back. It's like rubber. It's disgusting.
Well, and they already cooked it to a golden brown, so the worst you're going to do is burn it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Debbie wrote on our Facebook page, worst food to reheat is steak. And I have a trick that makes me sound like a crazy person. I've never said it out loud.
Mm.
But I always order, I like my meat medium, but I order it medium rare. And then I eat around the sides of it and I take the inside home. So when I reheat it, it cooks a little bit more, like in the oven. Am I the only person that does that?
Speaking of broke guy, like single guy hacks, I should do that. I'm going to write that down.
You're never able to take some steak home. You're eating that entire steak.
That's so true.
James also wrote on our Facebook page, according to my kids, worst food to reheat is mac and cheese. So I'll make a box, eat half of it, and then put the other half in the fridge. It sits there for 5 or 6 days because it doesn't taste right when it's microwaved, and then I throw it away.
Everybody knows you eat the entire box of mac and cheese.
What is leftover mac and cheese?
Right. Agreed. Never heard of it.
Yeah, it just stays on the stove until I walk by with a fork every time and shove it in my mouth. Right? I don't know. We've got Chef Plum from the Food Network coming up. He's going to say the best way to reheat these leftovers. It's next. If you missed it, we came up with the 4 most terrible things to reheat leftovers.
Listen, I'm not saying that I won't eat the things once they're reheated. I'm just saying that they don't taste anything like they did the first time around.
The right way to reheat these things. Joining us from the Food Network and host of Restaurant Road Trip, it's Chef Plum. You can find him online at chefplum.com. All right, Plum, you ready for it?
All right, let's do it.
How do you reheat egg rolls?
I have a question. Do I have an air fryer available?
Yes, there is an air fryer in my home, but remember, I am a remedial chef. I am not a professional chef such as yourself.
Got it. First course of action would be to do it in the air fryer for about 4 minutes at 350. That's what I would do.
It's actually really good to know, because I've destroyed things in the air fryer where I've given it too much time. But I find with egg rolls, they're really hard because the outside gets super hot, but then the inside is cold. How do you avoid that happening?
Yeah, you could just put them in there at a lower temperature for a longer period of time. We'll do the trick every time. Or have a little forethought in your life, Anna, and just let them sit on the counter for 5 or 6 minutes.
No, I see.
That's really mean.
Do we have to heat this thing up, the air fryer, beforehand, or I just throw it in there and I hit 4 minutes and I'm good?
Throw it in, hit 4 minutes, and you're good. The air fryer heats up real quick.
Okay. All right, good. How about pizza, which I feel like is such a traditional one, but there's got to be a right and wrong way. My dad is also a chef. Do you know how he heats up the pizza, and it's made my mom lose her mind? He puts it in the toaster.
Like kind of
on
vertical?
The side.
Just
yep.
throws it in there like that?
Like you put a slice of toast in the toaster. My dad will put a slice of pizza in the toaster with the cheese, like getting all hot and coming off. But yeah. he says it does it real fast and does a good job. And then he makes my mom clean the toaster.
Your dad's kind of an OG. That's a great way to do it.
Mm. Right?
It makes
like,
sense to me.
It feels like you'll get a good result. It's also you have no regard for the other humans in your life. Somebody is going to clean this problem up for me. I'm sure it is delicious, though.
Well, she did say he's a chef. Mm-hmm.
Well, how should we do it if we're not going to disparage our toaster?
Exactly.
If we're not going to
yeah,
do
100%.
That.
Put that oven on 400 degrees. Take that slice of pizza and put it right on the oven racks. Don't put it on a sheet pan. Put it right on the oven racks.
That's a good thing to know. All right. Okay. How about French fries? That was mine. So the whole reason why this came up is because I was eating fries at a diner, and then I didn't eat them because they were gross. And the guy was mad, the busboy, that I wasn't taking them home. But like to reheat fries at home, they're always nasty. Is there like a right and wrong way to do it?
I would probably go air fryer on those as well. But if you have a little bit of those like spray, like misters of olive oil, you know, those little like spray misters, I would hit it with that one more time or even just toss it with a little bit of olive oil. But no one actually wants to put that extra step of effort in when you're reheating French fries. So if you have to, if you're asking me, I put them in a nice hot oven on a sheet pan, let them ride for about 4 to 5 minutes.
This is why I never leave with fries left over, Plum. Yeah, they get eaten or they get left behind, and they've never been left behind.
How about a calzone or like one of those pizza rolls?
You know, I would say oven at 350, pop it in there, and be ready to give it a good 10, 12, 15 minutes until it gets nice and warm on the inside. Those will reheat nicely. That's an easy one.
I always get worried that I'm going to go too long, and it's going to get hard. Once the bread is tough, it's hard, it's too crispy, then it's shot for me. I mean, I'm still going to eat it, but it's not good anymore.
The best piece of advice I can give anybody is stop reheating anything in the microwave. It's the worst thing you could do. It makes any moisture that's inside there boil from the inside out and takes away any moisture. That's why if you put bread in there, it gets hard and gross.
Do you know that I've actually been considering getting rid of my microwave altogether? I use it so rarely now. It doesn't do a good job of anything. So why do I even keep it on the counter? It's so big and bulky.
Yeah, get rid of it. I haven't had one for years.
Chef Plum, host of Restaurant Road Trip. You can find him online at chefplum.com. Thank you, friend.
You're very welcome. Don't reheat French fries. Just call them done.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
It's Best Friends Week on the Couples Court. All best friends all week. They have a disagreement. You're just going to decide who's right. Matt and Joe. Matt, what's going on?
I'm getting married next year, and we are going to have a Jack and Jill bachelorette party to celebrate it, and he's not having it.
Joe, what do you mean you're not having it?
Do I need to explain? It's pretty lousy. Who wants to do a Jack and Jill bachelorette party? That's lame. Not to mention,
it's going to be fine.
Not to mention, Matt, we've been talking about this for years. We're going to go Nashville, guys only. I mean, like, it's kind of been in the works. We're doing this.
Yeah, I get it. And we're going to party just as hard. We're going to have just as much fun. And it's not that big of a deal that our, you know, girlfriends and wives are with us.
The fact that you think that is just, what is wrong with you? They can go anywhere else. It's a big world.
Well, yeah, but look, there's nothing that's going to be going on there. That you know what I mean? We're not going to be, you know, not doing anything out of school. I know personally I'm not. I wouldn't be getting married if I was.
That's not even the point, dude. It's just they're there. And you're not going to be focused. You're not going to be – it's hard enough to keep you off your damn phone when you're checking in. We're trying to have a good time. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're there to have our fun. You'll be looking over your shoulder. Oh, they could be here or they could be there. Whoa, let's find her phone. Maybe she's here. We can go meet up for a drink. I know you do.
Matt, did you want to have a Jack and Jill bachelor party? Like, did you want to have it with everybody together?
No, I mean, it was her idea, and I really didn't want to rock the boat.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference between a party that both are at. I've always been of the school is that you have a Jack and Jill party, sure, but you also have a bachelor party and a bachelorette party, right? I mean, that's always the way that me and my friends have done it. I got to tell you, I mean, it definitely is a different type of event if the women are there. Doesn't matter what you're doing. It's just the fact that You're not talking like you are when it's just the guys. You're not talking like you would be when it's just the girls. It goes both ways.
Did you establish where it's going to be?
No. I mean, that hasn't been confirmed yet. And I'm up for, you know, everyone's all together. The girls go off and do their thing. We'll go off and do our thing. We'll have three parties. Why not?
But the point is, we've been saying we want to go to Nashville for years. I know you're doing it to be nice. I get it. But I think deep down, she'd want to do her own thing, too. We've been talking about going to Nashville. That's our thing.
Well, clearly she doesn't, if she's the one that suggested to do this and convince Matt.
Yeah, I mean, is it a thing, though, where you want to go because you want to go to Nashville and you think it would be fun? Or is it a thing, too, because you want to keep eyes on people?
Well, it's so weird because I immediately thought that they were going to have, like, this party together and they were going to stay together, like, do dinners and go out together.
Sure.
But I think it's interesting that you think you're going to go to the same location and then do separate things. It's so odd to me.
Well, why do that, right?
Right.
Why fly to another place to do these separate things and then what? Meet back at the hotel room?
At the end of the night?
Intoxicated at 1 a.m.? That makes no sense to me.
I don't know. Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Because maybe they agree with you, Matt. If this is what you and your fiance have decided that you want to do, then Joe, we get it. You're the best man and you're upset about it because it wasn't the vision you had. But this isn't your wedding. So if that's what they want to do, you kind of got to step back and just follow the lead. But they may see your side too, Joe. If you feel like your best friend's being forced into this Jack and Jill bachelor party, then you have every right to speak up and maybe convince Matt that that's not what you're doing. That's not the vision, and that's not what's going to happen.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's Best Friends Week on the Couples Court. Different set of best friends every day having an issue, and just as usual, you'll decide who's right. Now, it's been tough between Matt and Joe because they've been planning, like, their bachelor parties and where they were going to celebrate for years. Mm-hmm. And now that Matt is actually getting married and it's all coming down to it and they're planning, Joe is upset because, well, Matt's fiance wants to have a Jack and Jill bachelorette party where they all go away and they all do something together. And he's all right with it. He thinks it's fine. Joe, not so much.
I mean, how can you do this when you've come up with a plan for all these years, talked about it with all your friends? I mean, you've grouped around and said, we're going to Nashville. This is going to be a blast. We're going to have a great time. And then as soon as your fiance says, well, I think, I mean, rather than do this, and he goes, yeah, great. Yeah, that's disappointing.
It's disappointing.
It sounds disheartening.
Yes, and I agree with you 100%. And do I think it's cool? Probably not, no, but it's his wedding, and it's his bachelor party, what he wants.
But he said it's not what he wants. Well, he said he wanted to go with the flow.
He wants to go
with
the flow.
That's what he said. That's all he said.
He wants to make her happy. Like, you know,
yeah, he doesn't want to have a problem.
What do you think, though? What would you do if you were in this situation? 1-800-330-9999. Jay, whose side are you on?
No, no, no. All I got to say is no, 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 no. Come on. Come on. Go with the best friend. Best friend. Just listen to the best friend and let's make this day simple. No, that's it.
Right. So separate parties then, basically, is what you're saying.
No, he said, no, 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 no.
And several more
no,
times.
No, right. No, no. A lot of notes. A lot of notes.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Best Friends Week on the Couples Court. It's Best Friends Week on the Couples Court. Every day, a different set of best friends. Disagreement, you still have to decide who's right. Matt and Joe have been best friends since they were kids, and they've always talked about their bachelor parties. Now that Matt is getting married, Joe is upset that he wants to have a Jack and Jill bachelorette party, where all the girlfriends and the wives come too.
He says, this is not the agreement we made. We've been talking about Nashville for over a decade. Us, all our friends, this was the plan. Don't disappoint everybody. You want to have a party together? Great. But we should have a party where it's just friends.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Jeff.
His. Yeah, great. If he starts a relationship like that, he's just going to be run over his whole life. He's going to stand up.
I mean, not to be as dramatic, but I mean, thinking of fact is, if you're doing the go with the flow thing and you're not even married, what's that going to look like? Right. In 5-10 years when your friends are like, hey, let's do something special.
I agree.
I'm sorry, I'm not allowed.
No, I agree with you. But is that your call to make? That's his relationship, right?
Hey, Zioni, whose side are you on today?
I am on the best friend's side. I feel like the bride is sounding a little insecure and that she might not trust her fiancé having a bachelor party. They could have a Jack and Jill together, but afterwards she should have her bachelorette party and he should have his bachelor party.
Laura, what do you think?
I think they should go separate states, separate continents, wherever they want to go. If they want to do something together, it should have been her shower at like a Jack and Jill.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. I think that, you know, you need girl time, you need guy time, or you need your friend group, whatever group that is, whether that's mixed people or whatever. Often when I hear something like this, I just think that this is insecurities. And if you don't have trust and faith in who you're marrying, why are you getting married?
Mm. It's not going to work.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Joe, our audience agreed with you. Matt, it doesn't feel like this is something you want. This feels like you're being dragged into it by your fiance. And maybe it's not such a bad idea to say, hey, we could do something together, but I also would like to do something separately with just my friends on the side. We've been talking about it for many years.
And it involves an airplane and being out of the zip code.
Look, of the hundreds of dumb things that I've agreed to, this isn't even in the top 10.
Exactly. You've been planning it for years. You just tell her, I can't get out of it. Sorry, the guy's really insistent. Joe, you got to be happy.
Yeah, I am happy. And trust me, Matt's going to love this. We're going to have a great time. And this is nothing against her either. Listen, I love his fiance. She's fantastic. I personally blame the maid of honor. She's the one that's kind of, I think steering her in the wrong direction.
Joe's smart. So, just pick somebody else.
Right. Yep.
Not bad, Joe. Pretty savvy. There's always one bridesmaid that's trouble. You're right. There's always one.
All right. If you have a problem, too, during Best Friends Week, it's not too late. You can send us an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $400 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains March 24th through April 3rd. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Jim, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jim.
Thanks.
Okay, so Raven's walking out of here. When that big door closes, you won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring it back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Number one, Nick Lachey won't be charged with battery after a clash with a photographer last year, but he will have to take anger management classes. Nick Lachey is part of what boy band?
98 Degrees.
Number two, Billie Eilish, Kendrick Lamar, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers will headline Lollapalooza. For the past several years, Lollapalooza takes place in what city?
Chicago.
Number three, Ed Sheeran has revealed his second daughter's name, and it's Jupiter. What 3 planets are closest to the sun? Earth, Mars, and what?
Earth, Mars, and Venus.
Number four, The Weeknd set a Guinness World Record as the world's most popular artist. What's The Weeknd's real first name?
Kendrick.
And number five, 97-year-old Dick Van Dyke crashed his car into a gate last week after losing control on a wet road. He's fine. He recently was on what reality competition show?
Masked Singer.
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
All right. 4 out of 5 for Jim.
Wow, that's very impressive. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Nick Lachey won't be charged with battery after a clash with a photographer last year, but he will have to take anger management classes. Wow. Nick Lachey is part of what boy band?
98 Degrees.
Remember when you had to take anger management classes, Raven?
Yes, I did. They were also court ordered. You know what? I mean, honestly, he was being harassed when he was out with his friends about Jessica Simpson. Leave the man alone. That was 1,000 years ago.
Birds of a feather. Number two, Billie Eilish, Kendrick Lamar, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers will headline Lollapalooza. For the past several years, Lollapalooza takes place in what city?
Chicago.
Yes.
Always Chicago.
Number three, Ed Sheeran has revealed his second daughter's name, and it's Jupiter. What 3 planets are closest to the sun? Earth, Mars, and?
Venus.
Yes. Number four, The Weeknd set a Guinness World Record as the world's most popular artist. I mean, how do they even figure that out?
Yeah, I guess it was something to do with his Spotify plays and all this stuff. I don't know. I mean, I don't believe it. He's certainly very popular, though.
What's The Weeknd's real first name?
Abel.
Yes. And number five, 97-year-old Dick Van Dyke crashed his car into a gate last week after losing control on a wet road. He's fine. He recently was on what reality competition show?
Oh, I don't know.
He was on The Masked Singer. He was the gnome.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't watch that.
I'm sorry, Jim. You guys tied at 4. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, this is Jim, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, my friend, and even $500 tomorrow, Anna.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.